Welcome back, my friends. Chef and a Fat Man live from the Big Green Egg Retail Center. Not Le Cordon Green, Retail Center.
Yep.
And Chef Eric, one of the neat things about the Retail Center that, well, you and I were the first ones to actually do a formal, the first formal program from here.
We were. That's
we were the one that broke it open. And that was quite an honor with
some
all
might,
the people.
Some might say we just broke it, but. But
yeah, but packed house. We did a St. Patrick's Day. You knocked it out of the park. The people were stuffed to the gills. They loved it. You're going to be doing more events here yourself with Big Green Egg.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
But
really sharp knife.
And, of course, the way he did it was the serve-safe way of drying off your blade. I'm just going to suggest it probably wasn't. But
it was.
Yeah.
I was coming from the top. Just that my finger may or may not have grazed in upward fashion onto the blade, which
is
very,
one
very
of the great things about Le Cordon Green, everybody knows about the amazing classes that are here. But also, people, you can cater it for private events. You can, you know, your parties and things. And, in fact, today we were going to be in the Le Cordon Green, but they had this wonderful event, and it's a really touching and moving story that we're actually going to share with you. I had a chance to meet the couple that put this party on, and I got to tell you, Chef Eric, we have met so many amazing people in this Green Egg community, and it seems like every time we come here, but this was a story. And we're always good about telling the stories about the Big Green Egg, not just talk about the egg itself, but about the culture and everything else. And speaking about culture, even though it's National Oatmeal Cookie Day and Raisin Day, it's also officially Chef Eric's Cooking Day. So after 12 to 15 minutes of the show, why don't we talk about what you're doing?
Well, sure. All right, so let's see what I've done so far, by the way, just to catch people up. So while you were yakking,
pontificating. Sir.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
I basically par cooked about a pound, a little bit over a pound of bacon. That's going to be used a little bit later for a maple bacon crunch that I'm making. And then we used some other bacon, and I created a basket weave with that bacon.
So it's bacon and bacon. So far, it's a great day.
There you go. And that bacon is in a basket weave pattern, okay? And then on top of that, and I needed to get it going so that I didn't have time in our extended break to wait, so I'll just walk you through what I did.
Okay.
Understand that we just had a day called 420 recently, April 20th.
Yes.
And somebody came up to me and said, hey, you need to smoke a fatty. So I said, hey, that's a great idea. That's what I'll do on the show. So I've got a fatty out there, which is a bacon weave,
Thank you for the clarification, because there are some people in the drug culture that might be thinking of something else.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
What part of the country were you from, sir?
California.
Yeah. But what part specifically?
I have no idea. Southern California. I have no idea what you're talking to, what you're referring to. Yes. A fatty is a rolled, usually pork, wrapped in bacon sort of delicacy on a smoker, specifically really great on a Big Green Egg. So with that basket weave of bacon, I laid down about a half-inch layer of Italian pork sausage. And on top of that, I added a bunch of cheese. And it may all drain out. I don't know. But it may not. And then I added on top of that a strip of chorizo, of Mexican chorizo, inside of that. And I wrapped it up into the fatty and trimmed off the edges. And it's out there now. And it'll probably go for about an hour, typically. It's a smaller one, so it's about 3 inches, 3.5 inches in diameter.
Ring gauge, that would be about a 300 ring gauge?
Yeah, I guess about a 300 ring gauge, yeah, something like that.
There's something in the cigar world, because after all, we love Cutter Cigar Emporium, the home of the Southern Cigar Festival. I digress.
You do. So, anyway, after we do all that, the next dish, and this is the one I'm working on right now, is we're going to do, you've heard of ABTs?
Atomic Buffalo Things.
Turds.
Things. No, yeah. Things.
Yeah. But it's a sort of a well-known dish and a little approach. Well, we're going to kind of do that. We're going to make a sandwich with them.
Ooh.
And instead of jalapenos, I'm using red chilies. and I'm going to go ahead and stuff these with some cream cheese. We're going to wrap that in bacon. We're going to grill those. Then we'll bring them back, and we're going to create a sandwich stuffed with those, as well as some chicken thighs that I also have out on the egg right now. And then melt the cheese in there and have that all be happy. And then, time willing, we're going to do, for our fourth dish, a quinoa-based, healthy Mexican dish. But it's going to have, I decided to modify the dish because I've done it before.
Really? You modify a dish?
Yeah. So I modified this one in order to perhaps add pork into it. So I'm going to use some more Mexican pork, chorizo, and mild Italian sausage as the base of our quinoa.
Now, for people who may not be familiar, because I wasn't until I met Dr. Sean. He was one that, and I went and tried quinoa.
What quinoa is? Yeah, so quinoa is a grain. It can be, so it's a healthier substitute than rice, not as high in starches.
My friends, here's a P.S.
What?
Stick with the rice. I'm sorry.
No, I heard that. No, quinoa does some great things. It absorbs the flavor that you're working with, which is excellent. So we're going to be layering a bunch of flavor into that quinoa dish. We're going to have the chorizo. We're going to have some black beans, some corn, all sorts of things that are going to be layered in. And that's going to be the base. So all that quinoa absorbs all that wonderful stuff.
Yeah, but see, quinoa is more like a. Well, I can't say the word on public radio.
What?
It's like a.
What? No, it's not.
It's like a,
it's
yeah,
a grain.
I know, but when it gets wet, it's like this soggy.
It's not soggy. Quinoa's not soggy at all.
I don't
know who's making your quinoa, but yeah, no, that's not.
It was,
it's actually,
it was,
it's got some good tooth action to it, you know? And no, quinoa's great.
Yeah,
great
quinoa
dish when it's done right.
Yeah, well, I said stick with basmati.
I don't know where you're getting your quinoa. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
anyway, today we're going to use a Red Inca quinoa.
Red Inca?
Yeah.
So is that a brand or is that a kind of quinoa?
No, it's an Inca. So this is an Inca grain, the quinoa, and this is a strain of it specifically that the Incas rose.
So that's the name. It's not the brand name. It's
correct.
The kind of.
Correct.
So how many different, quinoa master, how many different kind of quinoas are there? I've only seen one. I've seen quinoa.
Oh, no, there's probably 10 varieties.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because I didn't like it the first time or the second time, so what do I care how many there are?
It's kind of like you and okra, too.
Now, fried okra is great. As long as it's battered, I'm there. Batter, I'm there. Hey, that could be a new slogan. Batter, I'm there. Batter, I'm there.
I don't know. For who? For the unhealthiest, like... food in the world?
No.
Okay, so we're going to make some that healthy quinoa dish.
Okay.
Again, if time allows, at the end of the segments. So what I'm working on right now, though, is my ABTs. And again, ABTs are normally done with jalapeno. So I went to a store that is not Whole Foods today, and they were actually out of jalapenos. But they had Mexican red chilies.
Ooh,
and
which do you prefer? I actually like... I
like the red chilies.
Yeah.
I
tend to be a little sweeter to me, I think.
They're a little bit sweeter. They can also be hotter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm removing as much of the membrane and the seeds as possible. The membrane seeds are where most of the capsicum is stored. And the capsicum is what makes it burn your mouth. And
I was trying to look up... We had a discussion, rather lengthy discussion, about hottest peppers in the world. And I read an article that was published like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they still had the one from North Carolina, the Carolina Reaper, as the hottest. They actually had the newest version of it up at right at 1 million Scoville.
Yeah, there's
and you said there's another one,
yep.
But I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's just been released. So
from India?
Yeah, I think it's from India or from, I think it may be from Bangalore within India, but
to give you an idea, 1 million Scoville, how hot that is. A jalapeno's like, 15,000, 25,000. Now you, and if you think a jalapeno's hot, take that up to a million.
Oh, jalapenos aren't hot at all.
Well, I mean,
jalapenos are like one step under a bell pepper, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's as far as you're concerned. But to the normal pepper-eating population of non-Argentinian descent, you know, jalapenos can be hot.
Well, Argentinians don't eat spicy food. Spicy foods are eaten in equatorial regions. So if you look around the world, you'll see that in equatorial areas, that's where the spicy food is. It's true across India, across Asia, Central America. It's always the equatorial regions. And one of the reasons that you do that is it causes you to sweat, and sweating cools you down. So that's why, and also the chilies grow better in that hot temperature.
Well, I'll just put it to you this way. You eat a Carolina Reaper, you'll sweat. Anyway, no sweat about this. We're going into a shameless commercial tease. When we come back, Chef Eric will continue on, and we'll continue on food, fun, and celebrating a good life. Hopefully we'll have a story coming up for you real soon.